And good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, where we are here to answer all of your questions, tropical and gardening related. Today on Saturday, our topic is Coyote and the Roadrunner, how not to kill and maim yourself while trying to kill the bugs, pathogens, and weeds. A little background before we start, you can always join us at our Mixlr site. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. If you register on that site, you can send questions directly to our studio. Alternatively, you can call our studio at 239-887-3323, and our helpful studio staff will get your question to us directly live and on air. Also, a reminder to sign up at toptropicals.com for our newsletter. Twice weekly, you'll get all the information on any new products we have, as well as specials available only to our newsletter readers. All right, so to introduce today's topic of Coyote and the Roadrunner is our own Robert Reefer, International Certified Crop Advisor. Robert, to you.
Thank you very much. If you are of the tender age of your 50s, 60s, or 70s, you will remember the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. And the coyote was always getting into trouble, blowing himself up, falling off of cliffs, trying to catch that roadrunner. Well, what we want to do is make sure that you're not as bad off as Wile E. Coyote when it comes to trying to destroy your bugs, pathogens, weeds, and other pests that you find in your nursery and garden. One of the principal things to remember is that people many times want a magic bullet. They want something that's quick and easy and they can be done with it. Well, sometimes the best way to do a job is to actually take care and do a thorough job and work on what you're trying to do. Give you an example. I've always asked, why do we put a plant, or say that we are placing a plant in cultivation, when we do everything but cultivate it? We spray it, we put it under plastic mulch, we do a multitude of things to it, yet we never cultivate it. Well, too often times people reach for the herbicide jug rather than simply pulling the weeds or cultivating around the tree. Cultivation is safe and effective chemically and will aerate the soil, allowing the nutrients and water to get to the root system of plants far more easily. If you do, however, have quite a job with taking care of your weeds, you might want to then consider going the chemical route. One of the things to remember in using any pesticide is total safety. People more often than not will go to one of the big box stores and buy a jug of pesticide right off the shelf, yet I have never seen any of the proper personal protective equipment, PPE. In other words, face masks, gloves that are nitrile to make sure the chemical is not absorbed through your skin, as well as, with some cases, you actually need a disposable Tyvek suit. This personal protective equipment is absolutely essential depending on the type of pesticide that you would care to use. As far as application of these pesticides, you need to make sure of several things. Number one, is it in an area that's near food or water that is going to be consumed? Number two, what is the wind direction? Are we going to be spraying the plant and blowing the pesticide back into our faces? So a multitude of things need to be looked at. Do not forget to read the label on your pesticide. The label is the law.
Okay, Robert. So safety with your own personal equipment. Let's talk about pesticides. Our first question, you mentioned that some people are looking for the magic bullet. So our first question, is there a pesticide you can use to kill all bugs? And then let me ask you a follow-up to that question. Is there a safe natural pesticide that our listeners can use in the garden as opposed to going to that box store and getting the off-the-shelf pesticide?
Okay, first off, there really is no one pesticide that takes care of everything. In fact, what you want to do if you do have a garden or serious pest and pesticide condition is to use a variety of pesticides with different modes of action. This means it kills the bug in different ways. If you use the same product again and again and again, your pests and pathogens will quickly develop a resistance to this chemical, till eventually they just look at you and say, "Bartender, another round, please." So there really is not one single pesticide. Once again, read the label. Make sure that the label is for use not only on the type of critter you want to kill, but to make sure that it is labeled for the plant that you are spraying it on. It is indeed a federal violation to use the pesticide in a manner inconsistent with the product labeling. So you make sure that, number one, the label will work on the target pest you're trying to kill. Number two, make sure that it is approved for use on the type of plant. Now, as far as natural pesticides are concerned, one of my favorites, we'll deal with the fungi and bacteria first. One of my favorites is simple hydrogen peroxide. Approximately 1 pint in 1 gallon of water, and this is at the 3% solution rate. You can pick this up in any grocery store or drug store. It is safe. It degrades into water and oxygen, which we all need, and there's no residue, no aftertaste to it. I remember my father telling me back in World War II, they used to actually soak the vegetables in Clorox and it leaving an horrible rancid taste once they would cook the veggies. Well, with hydrogen peroxide, you don't have to worry about it. In fact, I use it on such fresh veggies that are going to be eaten raw, like celery, carrots, red green peppers, and lettuce as well. And remember, wash your food, even something as tough as a watermelon, because you could have bacteria on the outside, and since these particular fruits and veggies are not cooked, you could literally be inoculating your food with a bacteria or fungus that could be dangerous to you. So hydrogen peroxide is a great tool. Also, as far as bacteria, fungus, and insects, I prefer to use many of the soaps involved. My favorite just happens to be Dawn dishwashing liquid. They use it on the wildlife when they get into oil slicks, and it can be used and is safe for spraying on many plants. Basically, the soapy solution that you use, and I recommend about 0.5% volume per volume. This is approximately 0.5 ounce or 1 tablespoon per gallon of water. You can go lower, you can go higher, depending upon the results you're finding. And what this does is, this smothers the skin of the insect. Insects breathe through their skins using little organs known as spicules. And this basically suffocates and takes care of the insect. Think of it as insect waterboarding.
Very appropriate. So when we're speaking safety, not only can you be safe with your personal equipment, but some of these safe pesticide alternatives could be of help. So some questions are coming in regarding specific problems, how to deal with them. Maybe when you answer them, you could give our listeners both a traditional, I guess, pesticide and also maybe one of your safe alternatives. So the first question is there something safe to spray for leaf miner on my vegetables? What can we offer?
Oh my goodness. Leaf miner is a very difficult problem. You have leaf miners not only in the veggies, you also get them into citrus. The most effective pesticides, unfortunately, are some of the most toxic because they have to actually get through that leaf and kill that organism. Leaf miners on tomatoes, you can once again try the soapy solution. You might even try a good oil used at the correct rate. Now, when it's hot, you got a lot of hot weather, it's not a good idea to use oil on plants unless it is a highly refined specific crop oil, because you just wind up deep fat frying your plant. But you could try an oil or a soap solution.
Okay, another question. What is a chemical with a very small REI time? And then for our listeners, would you also explain and define the REI time?
REI stands for re-entry interval. This is a time between which the pesticide is finally applied to the plants and the time that a worker may re-enter that field. Now, don't let REI times fool you. Some of the most toxic pesticides around have some of the shortest REIs. So there are many other contributing factors to an REI, such as what is the temperature of the atmosphere? What is the humidity? Did you spray it on right before evening or right into the morning? So REIs can be very, very tricky. And I would say, pick something with an REI time anywhere between 24 and 48 hours. It seems very interesting because depending on the particular crop or plant that the pesticide is being applied to, you can have REIs ranging from a couple of days to actually a couple of weeks.
Robert, you mentioned in your answer something about depending on when you apply the pesticide. So let's answer a few questions in one. One of the questions would be, what is the best time of day to water your plants? And then maybe you could add to that the best time of day to apply the pesticides and how often the treatment should be made?
Okay, one of the best times to apply pesticide is actually at night. Many of the farmers will do night spraying because this is actually when the bugs are out. Your armyworm, for instance, that loves to attack tomatoes, it's out at night. And it's out at night because the birdie that's going to eat the worm is asleep at that time. And the ones that are out there in the middle of the day when the bird can see it, well, it's sort of like survival of the fittest.
Okay, so nighttime for applying the pesticides. How often should somebody treat for bacteria? And related to the time of day to apply the pesticides, is that also the best time of day to water your plants?
In my opinion, the best time to water your plants is in the early morning. The plant is awake. It is ready to absorb all the water and groceries you can give it. If you do water at night, what can happen is the water sits there, you have damp, moist conditions, and then this can allow your pathogens to spread and hatch. Don't forget, many of your fungi, many of your bacteria can actually live for up to a couple of thousand years. Your one-celled plants and animals, the protozoa, can insist. In other words, they almost build like a little cocoon, and when it finally hits water, it's then active. So the idea is you want to feed your plant and not the pests and pathogens. So early morning is a really great time to water.
Okay, early morning for watering, nighttime for pesticide application. What about once you discover you have a problem, you apply the pesticides, how often should you apply that pesticide?
The frequency of applying a pesticide is many times dependent on, number one, what are the regulations involved? Once again, read the label. Number two is, what kind of critter are we looking at? You may be able to kill the adult insects, but they have left behind their eggs. And sometimes the eggs are not killed in the process. So you will see pesticide reapplication rates of, in some cases, a few days to, once again, a couple of weeks, because you not only want to kill the adult insects, but you want to take care of succeeding generations.
All right, now a specific question regarding mangoes. We're a big fan of mangoes here. We sell a lot of mangoes. The question is, what should be used to treat fungus on a mango?
It depends on the type of fungus we're talking about. Once again, in my opinion, the worst type of fungus is the kind that will attack your mango flowers. No mango flowers, no mango fruit. And once again, good old hydrogen peroxide does a wonderful job. And on that, I would use a very low rate. Instead of 1 pint per gallon, a half to quarter pint per gallon. Also, I've noticed that sometimes when you spray mango inflorescences or flower stalks, as well as the closely related cashew, particularly during dry weather, this will actually attract pollinating insects. One other thing to remember is, just because you see bugs around your plant doesn't mean you have a problem. You want bugs around your plant or insects around your plant. If you don't have any bees pollinating the necessary plants, you won't get any fruit. So, you know, make sure, just because you've got something flying around your plant, that it's not a beneficial. 90% of all your insects are beneficial. Only 10% are considered malicious and destroy the crop.
Okay, so a couple alternative questions came in here. We talked about alternatives to store-bought pesticides. Let me provide you these two questions. Can you use vegetable oil? And you mentioned hydrogen peroxide in water. What about alcohol? Does spraying water with some alcohol help with fungus and bacteria?
Spraying with alcohol can not only help with fungus and bacteria, but can also help on insects. The insects don't like it very much. You can use isopropyl alcohol. You can use ethyl alcohol, but I prefer to drink that myself. Basically, the alcohol is not toxic to the plant. And once again, you can use probably, I'd say, up to 5 to 10% solution, depending on the application. Many orchid raisers, when they are repotting orchids, will use alcohol to clean the plants and make sure that it takes care of any scale or mealybug that they may find. Also, your oils are a good bet. You can use vegetable oil. There's actually a food-grade crop oil made from soybeans that they spray the orange groves as well as vegetable fields with from time to time. It works either as a standalone or works as a terrific adjuvant. In other words, a chemical that helps the water and pesticide solution to be more effective in doing the job.
Robert, you mentioned a little bit about orange groves, and we've talked previously about leaf miner. This question is regarding citrus in Florida. The question is, citrus in Florida always has leaf miner. Should I try to treat it or leave it alone? My citrus trees fruit well, and leaf miner seems to be only a cosmetic defect. What are your comments?
Yes, this is probably the easiest solution. If you can put up with an ugly leaf and you are getting good fruit, I really don't see any need to apply a pesticide. Don't forget, even in the agricultural areas, pesticide is applied only when there is an economic threshold loss. In other words, will they lose 10% of the money they could collect off the crop? Well, if it's only going to cost 5% to spray it, then you go ahead and do so. Unfortunately, many people have a misnomer about farming and agriculture. Many of the pesticides used today have been so thoroughly tested, even more so than many of the drugs in use today for human beings. And many of these pesticides are expensive, sometimes $1,000 a gallon. So a farmer is not going to want to use any more pesticide than he has to. In addition, they are applying in the orange groves these particular pesticides with tractors that cost on the order of $100,000 and up. So to go into a field and to apply pesticide, the farmer actually thinks three or four times more than the homeowner does on just applying pesticide to a regular plant, because this is actually done at substantial cost. Pesticiding and insecticiding, this costs immediate out-of-pocket money, sometimes on a crop where they're not going to see their money for maybe a year.
Robert, interesting question. Can you use a pesticide as a drench? Help me understand that.
Okay, as a drench, yes, you can use a pesticide as a drench. One of the main things done is imidacloprid products. And in the tomato fields out in Immokalee, they will plant the little tomato plants. They've been hit with imidacloprid many times at the plant grow house. And then once they are planted, they are hit again. And there is actually a special instrument that gauges the amount of pesticide being shot out by the pesticide gun. And this is measured in milliliters. It is highly accurate. A buddy of mine and I one day were out in a field. We had 1 acre of tomato plants to do. There are something like over 4,800 tomato plants in an acre. Well, we tried to measure it with total exactitude, and 4,800 plants later, we had enough left for 3 doses.
You and your buddies, those are always interesting and dangerous stories, I think, Robert. Customer call-in question, what can I do about grubs in the ground? What pesticide, and is there a safe alternative as well?
Yes, hire an armadillo with a mean streak. But as far as grubs are concerned, there are a lot of grub killers out there on the market. Once again, my advice is go to your big box store and or your local nursery that sells pesticide and see what can be done. The grubs are damaging in 2 different ways. Number one, many a times they will feed on the roots of plants. Other times they will then hatch and or go through metamorphosis and then turn into the adult insects that will then destroy the leaves of trees. There's one horrible insect known as Diaprepes, and Diaprepes lives as a grub in the ground. It then goes through metamorphosis. A grub is basically the larval or childlike form of an adult insect. It's sort of like attorneys are the larval form of politicians. But basically, the adult Diaprepes then climbs on top of the citrus trees, and before you know it, it looks like you put that citrus tree through a blender.
I think you just insulted larvae everywhere by comparing them to attorneys.
Apologies to the larvae.
All right, we're running out of time. Last couple questions. What is the best pesticide to use for fruit flies, especially for papaya fruit?
Use, once again, check the label. I believe Malathion or any of the similar products with such mode of action as that. In addition, fruit flies can be handled through sterilization. In other words, make sure you don't have any rotten fruit lying around the ground, and through proper sanitation. Once you made sure that the area is clear, once again, try a little bit of soapy water or a little bit of oil around that papaya.
All right, and Robert, our last question for today, how can I get rid of caterpillars on my passion vine? Apparently, our listener is saying once they destroyed all the leaves overnight. Caterpillars, any solutions?
Twofold solution. Number one, wear some gloves because some of these caterpillars are poisonous. But you can actually, number one, remove the caterpillar physically. Number two, find yourself an attack canary. And number three, once again, find an approved pesticide. There is an organic pesticide known as BT, which stands for Bacillus thuringiensis. and is safe to use and is even sold in the big box stores.
Well, Robert, that's all the time for today on Coyote and Roadrunner. I guess we could wrap it up by saying if you have a choice, be the Roadrunner or the Anvil, but not the Coyote. Is that right?
That is correct.
And next week, why don't you introduce our show for us next week?
Okay, our show next week is, oh no, it's organic.
Dun, dun, dun. How more people are killed each year from eating organic fruits and vegetables than are poisoned with pesticide. Now that is a cliffhanger. Look forward to hearing about the organic troubles. Thank you, everybody, from Radio Top Tropicals, and we will see you next Saturday. Don't forget, also, we have a special exclusive of cloves. We received only a few plants from Hawaii. Hurry up while our supplies last. You can view them right online at toptropicals.com. And don't forget, sign up for our newsletter, and we will see you here next Saturday. Goodbye, everybody.